This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Tuesday afternoon, September 10th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. Some companies are looking to attract and retain workers by becoming more pet-friendly. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Tessa White, author of the new book, The Unspoken Truths for Career Success, and host of the podcast, The Job Doctor Is in Salt Lake City, Utah. Find her online at thejobdoctor.com. Find her on the radio right now. Tessa, thank you for joining us today. And this seems like it's part of the ongoing effort to bring people back to the office, maybe 3 days a week, maybe 5 days a week.
Well, it's absolutely true. And it's super smart to do because about 66% of households have a pet. And if you take just Gen Z and young millennials, it's in the high 70s. So companies that are forcing people between going back to work or bringing a pet to work, this is a big win for companies if they can have a pet-friendly environment.
And on top of that, maybe the employees you're bringing back to the office got that pet during the pandemic closures, because there were a lot of people. Vacations were canceled, so let's get a dog.
That's exactly what happened. And they became very close to their pets as well. And I read the statistic the other day. It said almost 40% of Gen Z dog owners said they would consider taking a pay cut to work for a more pet-friendly company. And 64%, which is huge, said they'd change jobs or hours to spend more time with their pet, which I think is really unusual and something I've never seen before.
We're talking about pet-friendly office perks with Tessa White, author of the book, The Unspoken Truths for Career Success, and host of the podcast, The Job Doctor Is in Salt Lake City, Utah. Now, Tessa, I was at a radio station in Milwaukee about 21, 22 years ago. It might have been even longer ago than that, when they decided to have a bring your pet to work day. It was just one day. This kind of an employee levity day around the office and around the radio station and the TV station that was down the hall. And the next day, even though people had lots of nice things to say about it, the next day, the head of HR sent out an email to everybody and all staff that said, never again, because there were conflicts between pets. So if you want to become a pet-friendly office, you have to create an environment where people can still do their jobs and also where the pets can coexist together.
Yeah, I think there's three or four things a company has to do if they're going to be pet friendly. And one is they have to have a pretty autonomous workplace. So people need to be able to take breaks when the animals need to take breaks. Second thing you need is a culture of respectful communication, because not all pets get along and not all people get along with their pets. And having a company that has a real trial and error mentality, so they start small and they pilot things, because you're going to You have to anticipate, if you have a pet-friendly policy, that you're going to get other requests I have heard some very strange things, some very strange pets that people want to bring in. So it does open the floodgates. But if you have those ingredients, you can often have a really successful policy that helps retain and attract new people to come and work in your company.
Now, where does this policy have the greatest chance of success? Is it in a smaller office where maybe you have fewer than 20 employees? Or can you actually roll this out at, let's say, one of the big four accounting firms? You're talking with the regional manager and his iguana is just perched on his shoulder.
You know, I don't see the big banking firms or any of the big consulting houses getting excited about a pet-friendly policy. But it could happen. But I do see small to medium-sized companies having the most success with this. And they should consider it, because if it can be an attractor to get an employee in who would otherwise not take your offer, that's a big deal. And it also helps people stay at those companies. So it helps with stress reduction, employee satisfaction. It really has been proven to increase collaboration between people, which has been a hard thing as people come back into the workplace. And it helps people save more money because they don't have to pay for pet care, which is huge.
Tessa White, author of the new book, The Unspoken Truths for Career Success, and host of the podcast, The Job Doctor Is in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Amazon is launching a new line of budget-friendly food items in an effort to attract price-conscious shoppers. Let's get an update from Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com, based in Los Angeles. Phil, thank you for joining us today. And where will we see this new low-cost Amazon private label? Will we see them at the Amazon Fresh stores that are popping up across the country?
Well, Rob, I think it's going to be at the Amazon Fresh stores. I also think that we're going to start to see them in Whole Foods. Keep in mind that Whole Foods and Amazon are working tighter together than ever before under their new leadership. They've got Worldwide Grocery as the division, and both Whole Foods and Amazon is in that division. So I think we're going to see a lot of that. If you take a look at Whole Foods, they've reduced prices on 25% of their products in the store. They've added more private label. So I think that this strategy of Amazon Saver, which is this new brand, and 365, which we've seen on a lot of TV commercials on, is going to be some kind of combination.
Now, we've had this discussion before, Phil, that store brands have gotten better over time from a quality perspective, and they have become more attractive to price-conscious shoppers. So can you talk about, just on a percentage basis, how much the store brand has become a part of the total grocery spend?
Sure. It depends on the chain, but typically these days it's between 27 and 33% of what's in that store, being sold in that store, is the store brand. And you're right. I mean, the quality is superb. It really started back in 1984 with Loblaws in Canada developing their private label, which was called President's Choice. Then A&P, remember them? They had Master's Choice. And really, when you look at what Trader Joe's and Aldi have done from a quality standpoint, they've really upped the game. So every retailer has done exactly that. Whole Foods and Amazon, I mean, have very strict standards for what's in their store brands. And I think we're going to see, you know, a lot more store brands out there. You know, for our parents' generation, when you bought store brands, it was a signal to everybody else, all your neighbors, that you couldn't afford the real thing. Not so much anymore. Generationally, millennials and Generation Z love store brands. They like the value and they like the quality.
And this is a conversation that has come up during the ongoing merger proceedings between Kroger and the parent company of Jewel Albertsons, just about competition in the grocery space. And Amazon jumping into this space, going after Aldi and Target and Walmart, just goes to show you that there is more to the grocery market than just the corner supermarket that you've been going to for decades.
Absolutely. And if you look, if this merger does take place, and, you know, it's on a day-to-day basis, whether or not I think it will take place or not, but if it does take place, you know, the store brands are going to represent about 35,000 products, and it's going to make, you know, Kroger probably the number three biggest CPG company that's out there.
Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com, based in Los Angeles, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, saving now so you can retire early.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Financial Independence Retire Early, or FIRE movement, is helping provide guidance to people in their 20s and 30s. We're joined by Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And before we talk about how you can retire early, the practical way to go about doing it, what is the definition of early retirement? I mean, if you retire at the age of 64 and a half, does that mean you've retired early?
Well, it's a great question, and there's no one definition. But traditionally, the FIRE movement, the movement you mentioned there in the intro, has a target date of 40. So the idea is that you spend your 20s and 30s putting your nose to the grindstone in a very disciplined way, save and invest the money, and hopefully you will have built up enough by the age of 40 such that you can live on the income being generated by that amount of money you've built up over those two decades, and then basically not have to work from age 40 onwards.
Now let's talk about a hypothetical person. They want to do this. They have graduated from college. They have their first job with a retirement plan, and they want to save above their means so they can really take advantage of the money later on. How do you go about doing that from your first day on the job? Or do you have to start even earlier and start socking away your high school graduation money as part of this project?
Well, it's a great question. And once again, there's no one answer to it. It really depends on your assumptions of how much money you want to live on when you're at age 40 and your assumptions about how the stock and bond markets will perform over those two decades. You change those, just tweak those assumptions by a little bit, and it can make a big difference as to how much money you're going to need at age 40. But obviously, I think most financial planners at least would say that the earlier you start, the better. But for most people, they're getting out of college, if they're lucky, with no debt. But most of us probably get out of college with at least some debt. So the idea that you're going to have a major nest egg already built up by the time you get out of college is probably unrealistic.
Now, I'm not the only one who probably plays around with those quick and dirty investment calculators that you can find online. And they always ask you, what is the rate of return? And then you can Google the S&P 500 rate of return over time and get a pretty good answer. Is that a reliable tool to kind of ballpark where you think you're going to be at a particular time?
Well, you see, I'm actually going to be unusual in answering your question relative to most financial planners. Most financial planners would say that what you suggest there in your question is the best way of going about it. And there's nothing particularly wrong with it. If you want to bet on the future, looking at the greatest amount of history is probably better than just extrapolating what happened last week or last month or even this year to date. The problem is that there is no guarantee that the future will be like the past. And indeed, history is full of examples of where history makes a U-turn. The example du jour is what happened in Japan in 1989. The major market averages in Japan today, here we are close to 40 years later, and those averages are still below where they were in 1989. And if, God forbid, something like that happened with our markets, and people have now put all their money in the market in their, you know, starting in their 20s and in hopes of making a retirement age by age 40, they're going to have less money at age 40 than they did when they start. Now, that's unusual, but it's a good reminder that there are no guarantees in this business, and the best you can do is take the risks and hope for the best, but there are no guarantees.
Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead in Travel Tuesday, taking kids out of school for an exercise in real education.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Two Delta planes collide on the tarmac at the airport in Atlanta. The first and possibly only debate between the candidates for president takes place tonight. It's Travel Tuesday. Taking kids out of class for a trip could provide educational benefits. Also on the travel beat, people planning to fly next year with the new Real ID or a passport to board a plane. WBBM Business. The markets are mixed right now. The Dow is down 214 points. NASDAQ up 41. S&P 500 essentially flat. We have 78 degrees right now at O'Hare under mostly sunny skies. Going up to 86 today. It's 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour. Two planes have collided on the taxiway at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport in Atlanta. Here's reporter Bill Caiaccio from CBS affiliate in Atlanta, WSB.
It happened just after 10 o'clock this morning at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. Delta Flight 295 was taxiing for takeoff when its wingtip struck the tail of Endeavor Air Flight 5526 while on a taxiway. The Delta Airbus A350 was heading to Tokyo. The Endeavor, which is a regional airline, was headed to Lafayette, Louisiana. There is severe damage to the tail of the smaller jet and the wing of the A350. Delta says there are no reports of any injuries and customers are being transported back to the terminal and will be put on other flights. There were 221 customers on the Japan-bound flight and 56 on the flight for Louisiana. The FAA and NTSB are investigating.
It's debate night with Vice President Harris and former President Trump taking the stage in Pennsylvania. The latest from CBS's Jared Hill.
Anticipation is building in Philadelphia, where Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump are set to meet in person for the first time on the debate stage.
There's no floor for him in terms of how low he will go, and we should be prepared for that.
The vice president has spent the past few days doing mock debates, practicing on a stage with lights.
If I destroy her in the debate, they'll say, Trump suffered a humiliating defeat tonight, no matter what.
Trump has said he doesn't need formal preparation, but he has been doing policy sessions with a small team of advisors.
We'll carry the debate live starting at 8 o'clock tonight. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are mixed. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer with Crescent Capital in Chicago. Jack, thank you for joining us today. And as we've discussed on the noon business hour, September has a reputation for being a volatile month for the markets. And this September, it would appear to be living up to its reputation.
Yeah, absolutely, Rob. September got off to a pretty ugly start, and we're trying to gain some ground today. But we also have a mixed picture. We're a lot of red and green on the screen today.
Now, are traders taking a defensive position or maybe overdoing it in advance of the CPI and PPI prints this week?
The CPI and PPI prints are certainly important to match up against the jobs report that we had last Friday. CPI is expected to have risen about 2.5%. I think that's what analysts are hoping for, 2.5% year over year. That would be down from 2.9% last month. Month over month, 0.2, which would be about the same as last month. So if the current trend continues, then the year-over-year rate will decline pretty dramatically, and that's good news.
We're talking about today's market activity with Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer, Crescent Capital in Chicago. You mentioned that September is a rather volatile month for the markets writ large, but tech has really been struggling as of late. And what's been weighing on the tech sector?
Sure. It seems to be a reversal of what we enjoyed for the first 6 months of the year, and that is one of the key metrics that was driving performance for the first 6 months of 2024 was debt to EBITDA. In other words, how much debt is on the books of companies or markets in general. What we find is that large cap stocks have typically 4 to 5 times debt to their annual cash flow. Small caps have a little bit more than that. Emerging markets even higher still. And yet the Mag 7 is less than 1. In other words, they're able to generate enough cash flow in a given year, in the current year, to pay off all of their debt. And I think that in an environment where overnight interest rates and interest rates in general were so high, that was a key factor driving performance through June. That, now that we're sensing that the Fed is going to reverse course and start lowering rates, that's reversed as well. And so now the Mag 7, which spent the first 6 months really railing ahead of those higher levered counterparts, are now trailing, and those other higher levered markets are gaining ground. And that's kind of a healthy, what we'll call a broadening, if you will, of the market.
And then let's talk about a couple of commodities, especially how they relate to this, the overall health of the economy, beginning with oil, which is below $70 a barrel, actually trading at $65.76 a barrel. And on top of the savings that will eventually be passed along to you at the gas pump, what does that say about the economy, not only in the U.S., but around the world?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing a softening in a lot of the industrial commodities. Obviously, oil is kind of a double-edged sword. It's not just a barometer of economic activity, but it's also a hedge against hostilities, particularly in the Middle East. That has, at least in recent weeks, has cooled down to some degree. But if you look at copper, you look at other steel and other commodities, it does reflect that the good side of the economy is really contracting, while the service side is still expanding, perhaps at a slower rate.
Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer with Crescent Capital in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Travel Tuesday, taking the kids out of school to further their education.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday, sponsored by Preflight Airport Parking. Sometimes a lot can be learned by kids when they're outside of the classroom and on a trip. Let's discuss the ways to do that with Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors based in Scottsdale, Arizona. Find her online, travelbta.com. Angie, thank you for joining us today. And the last couple of weeks on the Noon Business Hour, we've been discussing how this season, the so-called shoulder season after kids go back to school, but before the end of the year, traveling really is a time to get some good deals. And if you want to travel and make memories for a relative bargain, this is the time to go. And that means you got to take your kids out of school as part of the process.
You do have to consider whether or not taking them out of school is going to give them not only a family experience, but also opportunities to learn outside that classroom.
And if you want to go on a vacation now, but have your kids learn along the way, what are some good destinations? I mean, I could think just off the top of my head, Washington, D.C. is a great educational destination for your kids.
Absolutely. It starts with choosing a topic. What is the topic that you really want to incorporate into that travel experience? For example, visiting the White House is an opportunity to educate your children on U.S. history as well as politics and things of that nature. Whereas, speaking of nature, if you want to dive into environmental studies and teach your child about sustainability, a place like Costa Rica is a wonderful destination.
And then if you want to really make this an educational thing, I mean, just above and beyond learning lessons along the way, can you even incorporate your teachers into this and maybe they can develop a curriculum? Like if you're out, you're going to miss time in the classroom, but as long as you maybe write a paper or answer some questions about things you saw along the way, along with making up the work that you missed while you were away, could that be a good way to loop your school in on this vacation too?
Correct. And believe it or not, Rob, there's actually charter school programs around the country that focus on providing families opportunities. Instead of taking the traditional 2-week vacation over the holiday, these schools allow for 3 weeks where that third week is focused on independent studies, which allows families to incorporate additional travel when other families are traveling during those peak holiday seasons when prices are higher, whereas that first week after the new year can be a little bit more affordable for travel. And one of the questions I think parents should really ask themselves is, really, what is the experience that traveling is going to provide my child as a student? And it's obviously there's family connection where you can focus on educating your child more socially and teaching them about different cultures and destinations. And I will tell you, if parents really want to look at other parents that travel with their kids internationally, most of the families that travel internationally are very focused on academics. So just because you're teaching and unschooling, so to speak, outside the classroom doesn't mean that you're not enriching your child in different subject matters, from history to science to just making our world a better place.
We're talking about pulling your kids out of school to go on a vacation during the school year with Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors in Scottsdale, Arizona. At the same time, you must also consider where your kids are in school if you're going to pull them out, because there are some points in your academic career where you can miss a week or maybe miss 2 weeks, and it's not going to have that much of an impact in the long run. But then there are times in high school where now it seems like every second, every period counts in your high school career towards sending you to the college of your choice.
So true. And Rob, there's actually a lot of high school programs where they have an IBC, an International Baccalaureate program, where they actually host different opportunities for students and possibly even families to travel. And you do want to have that permission from your school, from the teacher, that really encourages your ability to take that leap and to travel and allow your child to miss school. You know, take the Thanksgiving holiday, for example. More and more schools are allowing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And yes, traditionally, Thursday and Friday have been non-school days, but some are even opting that you can virtually attend or do your work outside of class on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And some districts are even making that Wednesday before Thanksgiving a holiday. So there's that opportunity for families to take longer extended vacation over that particular holiday.
Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors in Scottsdale, Arizona. Find her online at travelbta.com. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. And still to come, the deadline for air travelers to get that real ID is moving closer.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Travel Tuesday rolls on. In this segment, we're updating the real ID, which will be needed for domestic air travel starting next year. care if you don't have a passport. We welcome in Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com, based in New York. Joe, thank you for joining us today. And after all these decades, Joe, and it really has been decades, the Real ID deadline is upon us. It is next year, almost 20 years after I covered that news conference at Mitchell International Airport in Milwaukee, then Congressman James Sensenbrenner introducing the legislation that brought out the Real ID. And it only took two decades to actually bring this thing to fruition. That is, Joe, if the deadline is not extended one more time.
Exactly. This bill, Rob, was passed in 2005 in response to 9/11. And it was supposed to take effect in 2008. It's been delayed every year after that. So if you think next year is the magic number, then I guess you should get ready. But it's a very daunting process to get a real ID.
Now, I have the gold star on the driver's license that indicates that it is Real ID compliant. And if you live in Illinois, you can get the Real ID when your driver's license renewal comes up. You could start that process. But if you're not in cycle, as it were, if your license is not up until maybe 26 or 27, what are some things you can do right now just to make sure you are within the confines of the law come next year?
Well, the information is laid out at this Secretary of State's office, ilsos.gov, but it's very complicated. For starters, you'll have to go to a DMV office, and I know people who'd rather spend weekends in Afghanistan than go to a DMV. When you go to the DMV, you're going to have to show proof of identity, date of birth, U.S. citizenship or lawful status. You're going to have to prove your Social Security number. You're going to have two pieces of proof of where you reside, and you're going to need proof of that the signature you're going to make is actually yours. So basically, you're going to have to show up with a box full of information and be at the DMV at the same time to get this, when it's frankly a lot easier to get a passport.
And I was going to say, if you have gone through the entire process to get the passport, does that short circuit things for you? Does it provide a couple of shortcuts, or is it the same, or do you have to basically do the same thing, but except for your driver's license instead of a passport?
Well, you can. A passport is one of the forms of ID you can use to get a real ID. But the only advantage of a real ID, whether it's on your license or a real ID card, is that it's not your passport. You might as well get a passport. Passport will let you leave the country and go elsewhere. Go to Canada, go to Mexico, go to wherever it is you want. Real ID does very little for you that you can't do with a passport. And passport's easier to get. You can just drop it off at the post office and take your own picture now. In fact, you can do it digitally online. That would be the simpler, easier way. Because Real ID is sort of a bolt-on that they did to driver's license. You know, half the country now has passports finally, and maybe you should be getting your own passport now.
May 7th, 2025 is the deadline. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for the insight. Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher, JoeSentMe.com, based in New York. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.